Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, we're going back to Lisa, and we're going to let her finish her spellbinding story. Believe it or not, we've got her computer back up, so we're going to try to go back on the computer now. We did a trick that Sam taught me a while back, and hopefully it will stay working. So if it quits working, we'll just go back to the phone again. But anyway, we're going back to Lisa. Lisa, darling, if you remember where you were, please finish your spellbinding story.
I was talking about we're fast-forwarding 15 years. 15 years. The same girl is now a wife and a mother, and she's graduated nursing school. 2 weeks after graduation, her two-year-old son is in a car with his father that was hit head-on by a drunk driver. The driver was black, had 4 DWIs, 2 convictions, and also was positive for cocaine, and he was driving a company truck. He had massive head injuries. The child had massive head injuries, and his heart stopped beating twice while waiting on the ambulance. After he gets to the hospital, they have to perform a craniotomy and remove the entire right side of his brain. He is in a coma and in ICU for months. The child is now 31 and remains paralyzed on his left side to this day from the accident. We are not destined to become our past. Our past can shape our future for either good or bad. It's up to us to decide which path we'll take. Do we choose to let the past make us weak and dispirited, or do we choose to be strong and move on? The girl in the stories could have folded and become an emotional mess, but she chose to rise above it. Whore and nigger lover. She could have chosen to accept the title the school kids called her, but she didn't. She knew she was not what they called her. She could have been forever angry about the drunk driver, but that wouldn't help her child move on with his paralysis. But she didn't. She chose to be strong and independent and good. She chose to create a life she was proud of because she knew she was more than her past. Her mother was a prostitute, and her father raped his own daughters. All of her siblings except one brother are dead from alcoholism, but she survived. That child is me. I couldn't let those unfortunate circumstances make me bitter and dysfunctional because I have children that need me, and I couldn't let them see me weak. I was raped by a black man, but that didn't soil me. It made me set my jaw and realize them for what they are. I don't want this to happen to other little girls, so I fight the white fight every day. I get tired and I get discouraged, but I keep going. We are all strong and resilient if we choose to be. And this era that we live in demands that we be. Teach your children their history. Teach them separatism. Teach them pride in their race. And teach them they are meant to rule, not be ruled.
People, I'll tell you what, that's one of the most astounding stories I've ever heard. And we're getting ready, you know, people. I hope you appreciate this. And this lady, I can tell you that she doesn't hate anybody. She has healed amazingly. I don't know anybody that could heal like that. But listen, we're going to thank Lisa for she has been probably our star guest today. And now we're getting ready to go to another guest who's been here. Matter of fact, he was a speaker. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you so very much. We're getting ready to go to a fellow from California. Get this. The dude rode, well, I'll tell you what. Instead of me telling him how he got here, I'm going to let him tell you how he got here. And if you will, Joseph, tell us, put your headset on. Tell us, give us a little bit of bio, a little history, maybe going to early childhood, et cetera, how you get to be, who you are in the Klan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'll be, as you gave that little bio, I'll be asking you some questions. So here is Joseph. Joseph, go for it, fella.
Hello, my name is Joseph. I've been involved with the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan since 2004 when I signed up. I was 20 years old at the time, and as a kid, you know, I lived a typical childhood. I grew up in a white area, and I went to a private school, and it was 95% white. Probably the other ethnic groups was a little bit of Hispanics and maybe a couple Orientals, but there were zero blacks there, so I never met them or got to know them. And I think that's what my parents intended, you know, to keep away from blacks. And they were from the Bay Area, and they moved out of it to a wider area in California. I continued, and eventually when I got to high school, I got to see what blacks are like, and you know, I didn't have really a lot of respect for them. And the thing that really got me more racially aware is, like, you know, insults on TV, and one particular show. It was a TV show, it was called King of the Hill, and they had this racial episode where this black guy just making fun of white people, and I didn't like that. And you know, I went to school, and you know, non-whites were making fun of white people that day, and they weren't blacks, they were like this Filipino kid. And that's what kind of got my attention a little more, and you know, it just kind of grew more and more, and I just see them, and I'd listen to radio talk shows too. My dad would have them play, and I'd listen, and you know, I'd hear what blacks would say, like Al Sharpton, and you know, I felt they were more of a threat to me, and more of my interactions were more getting more negative. And I went on the internet, looked up the Klan, and that's how I initially joined them.
Matt to call James.
And
the last segment.
Okay.
I continued to come out here. I learned more and more things about white people and the white movement. And that was a learning process, and you know, I just became more a part of the Knights, and I always liked being a part of it. I enjoyed learning more things, and you know, it just strengthens my beliefs, what I do year after year. And you know, when you get older, you learn wiser, and you know, things you slow down a little bit. But you know, I believe, you know, I'm going to be with them the rest of my life, and this is what I call home, and you know, I enjoy being around here. The fellowship is always great, and it's something I enjoy doing.
Well, listen, before we go to our next guest, tell us all the rigmarole. Tell us how you had to, what you had to go through to get here.
Well, you know, I usually, I have to take the train to get here, or sometimes I do drive, but I do not fly. Don't like that. It's a long ways away, but I enjoy seeing the United States of America, predominantly in the West Coast and Midwest, and then I get to the South finally, and you know, things kind of change. You know, you see the little, you know, when I was leaving this year, you know, I see the little gang bangers bagging and sagging, and then when I get more deeper in the country, you know, I see real white people, you know, with their shirts tucked, and you know, the real white men, and you know, the women dress more conservative, and you know, a lot more friendlier, and you know, more at peace, and you know, it's enjoyable, and I always like the trips. It's kind of a getaway, and you know, I do it. I try to make a commitment to come every year. When I was younger, it was a little hard to get here because of financial issues, but I do pretty well, and any chance I get, I try to come.
We're going through a break. I'm sorry, we got to go to a break now, and we'll be right back after this commercial, people.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it. And the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do. Just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside. And they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. And I lost it. To other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know. So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Music up here all day at the church. Now listen, we're going to let Joseph is going to say goodbye, and then we're going to go to Pastor Rob and Jason Rob, and we're going to have a little dialogue over here.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, and enjoyed speaking, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you next time.
But this is your headset. Pastor, put your headset on. Okay, people. Now, thank you so much, Joseph. What a wonderful kid. He's about the age of my grandson. I get so attached to these people on the Minnesota. What we're going to do now, we're getting ready to go to the head honcho of the whole thing. His name is Pastor Thomas Robb. And I've been informed today that he's not really the boss, but I'm going to say he is because his wife isn't around here right now. And so, Pastor Robb, you're the boss for right now, son. And I love him to death. And we have his son, Jason, who I love working with Jason. For some reason, me and Jacob, I guess because I love kids. Anyway, with that, we're going to go to Pastor Robb. And he's going to open up this a little bit, and we're going to rock and roll as best we can. So we're going to bring this show to you, come hell or high water, people. Go ahead, Pastor Rob. Tell us what went on today.
Now, first off, I'm going to correct you again. His name is Jason. Is there issues there? Anyway, yes, we have been having a wonderful time here. We started last night, actually, about 6 o'clock. People were arriving through the doors, and we had refreshments here, members of the church here bringing desserts, pies, and cakes, and things like that to kind of welcome the people that have been traveling and welcome them to the conference here. And then, of course, not always, but this year, Rachel made a big pot of chili. She brought that instead of pie, and so people were able to sit and eat some chili and relax. And then at 7 o'clock, we began with some various speakers who kind of like an introduction speakers from those who were going to speak today in length. They gave a short little talks and just of interest about what they're going to talk on. And of course, we had Tom Bowie here and myself and Jason and of course, your main host here, Eddie Miller, and then William Johnson. I call him Daniel Johnson, and there's a story behind that, but I have been calling him Daniel Johnson for years, but I guess officially his name is William Johnson. But anyway, Daniel is his middle name, so that's how that happened. It's a long story, and he may tell it someday. But anyway, he was here also, and then several other speakers couldn't get in until last night, but they were here this morning. And Lisa, of course, from Texas, she's fabulous. She was here. We like to hear women at our conferences because they have insight that maybe a man may not have. A woman is the kind of, you know, the one who kind of keeps the home together. So we always like to hear a perspective from our women members or associates. So she was here also. So we just had a really great time today throughout the day, and then we had. One of the interesting things that kind of caught Eddie off guard here was that in the midst of his speech, and I told him he was going to get interrupted, so he was kind of prepared for it. We had the children here. We had about 10 or 12 children marching through, waving Confederate flags, marching to the song, Onward Christian Soldiers, and they marched around, and people really enjoyed that, seeing the young bubbly faces, the young little boys and girls marching, waving their flags, and taking so much pride that we're hoping to instill in them and their people and their heritage and culture. They really were beaming with joy, an opportunity to do something. It seems so minor maybe to an adult, but to a child, this is a big event in their life to sit there and begin developing this racial pride. And so we always like to do that. And our conference is here sort of unique because years ago, I hate to say I had a vision because, you know, that sounds kind of religious, but you know, I certainly had the dream. We moved here from Arizona, my wife and I, in 1971, purposely to Arkansas to build this ministry in the heartland of America. We didn't want to be in the way up north, didn't want to be way down south or out west or out east. We want to be in the heartland of America. So we came here in 1971 with the vision to build this ministry, and we've worked on it for years, and now we've had a minor success. I'm not going to say major success because it's always a struggle, but we have a wonderful conference center here, and church and cabins for men and women to stay in, and our office here. And of course, we're building this Christian Research Development Center. And it's a beautiful campus we have here, and one of the most amazing things about it is that it's secure. We cannot be canceled out. A lot of people try to hold conferences, as many of you may know, and they'll try to run a conference center somewhere, and a few days or a week before the conference begins, the hotel will cancel them because they got death threats from the opposition. So this can't be canceled. We are very secure. Antifa or protesters can't even, I guess it could come out here, but I don't know where they'll protest that because we own both sides of the road, so they'll have to go down the Zinc, I guess, which is a couple miles down the road, maybe protest down the Zinc. But it's very secure. And then, of course, we always like to brag that we have food is prepared by our own staff. So if you go to a motel or some conference center, you know who's cooking the food back in the kitchen. Once they find out this, the white nationalist meeting, not quite sure how many spits are going to be in your food. But maybe that doesn't happen, but it's certainly a concern of mine anyway. So our food is prepared by our own staff. So we have a wonderful time here, a wonderful opportunity for families to come together and build their relationship with this white nationalist movement to reach into the hearts of our people. And so that's what's been going on here. We have finished up here now for supper time. Grab some dinner, and then we're going to continue on with the activities later this evening, and of course, church tomorrow, and then of course, all day tomorrow, concluding with a cross lighting tomorrow night. So, anyway, that's kind of a highlight, Eddie. I don't know what else you want me to ramble on about, but.
Well, Pastor, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I really appreciate what you're doing, and you're coming through like a pro, and we have had to really jump through hoops keeping this thing going. But thanks to Sam Bushman's wonderful daughter, she's a brain like all the rest of his family, we're going through. So I will take over right now just for a minute. Pastor's gone. Thank you so much, Pastor. Now we're going to go to my spirit son. All these young guys I work with, I adopt them. We're going to Jason. There's so many Jasons and Jacobs in the world. I always get him mixed up. Anyway, Jason Robb is the guy. I love working with him because I'm old and he's forgiving for these old guys like that. Anyway, Jason, welcome to Blood River Radio, fellow. It's been a wonderful. I've had a great rapport with you. Matter of fact, I've been trying to recruit Jason in as one of my regular hosts. But he's just too busy, man. And he, you know, he's above this little dinky radio show we have. I don't blame you, man. I hate to be here myself sometimes. But anyway, because we don't get no respect. But how are you doing tonight, Jason?
Oh, I'm doing very good. It's been such a blessing to have all the speakers here and to have Eddie Miller and his crew here from Blood River Radio. It's a fantastic radio program, and just encourage everyone to continue to support this program and listen to it. It's great to have a program out here that speaks for the interests of our people. So we really enjoy and are honored, Eddie, that you're here with the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been bragging on the Robs all day, and we've been bragging the Jasons and the Robs all day long, and like I say, it's not without merit. They're some of the finest people I've ever met in my whole life. In fact, they're a lot better Christians than myself. I backslide at times, but I haven't seen any one person up here yet. It's been a too overly aggressive. It's been a racist, a hater. None of that at all. But listen, well, I'm getting ready to go back to Jason right now. Jason, I know this is... Okay, listen, we've got... Jason, I'll tell you what, we're getting ready to go to a break. When we come back, I'm going to have a pastoral of questions for you, young fellow. By the way, this guy's a lawyer, but you're not getting any free legal advice tonight. Maybe next time. And anyway, people, hang on to your hats. We're going to a break, and we're going to be right back in just a few minutes. And thank you for hanging out through all these difficulties we're having. But we're doing great. Be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
South Carolina's governor has now declared a state of emergency after powerful Hurricane Dorian shifted course, putting the Carolinas and Georgia at more of a risk of a dangerous storm surge and strong winds during the middle of next week. Governor Henry McAllister said, given the strength and unpredictability of the storm, we must prepare for every possible scenario. The Category 4 storm strengthened to winds of over 150 miles an hour. It also shifted slightly, setting it on course to potentially miss the direct hit with Florida. Health officials are recommending people who vape consider avoiding e-cigarettes while they investigate more cases of a breathing ailment linked to the device. While the cause remains unclear, officials say that many reports involve e-cigarette products that contain THC. Officials from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention say they are now looking at 215 possible cases across 25 states. This is USA Radio News.
Friends, I'm so appreciative of all of the things that you've done in patronizing MyPillow. So is Mike Lindell. You've built MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow and the inventor, wants to give back to you. You can get deep discounts right now on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener special. Maybe you want Giza Dreams bed sheets. Maybe you want a MyPillow of your own. Maybe you want a MyPillow to take with you on vacation. You go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, use my promo code USA, and remember, you got nothing to lose. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener specials. You get deep discounts on all MyPillow products only if you use promo code USA. And by the way, you can call 1-800-951-8175 and get the same savings.
A report has been released on former FBI Director James Comey's handling of a memo that was leaked to the New York Times. John Clemens reports.
Inspector General Michael Horowitz declined to make a recommendation to charge James Comey with a crime, but the report was critical of the former FBI director for violating policies regarding his handling of official memos that contain classified information. In a statement from Mr. Horowitz, the Inspector General declared Comey's retention, handling, and dissemination of the memos violated department and FBI policies, as well as his own employment agreement with the Bureau. Comey gave the material to a friend who was an attorney, who then gave it to the New York Times. I'm John Clemens.
California Governor Gavin Newsom reached a deal with apartment owners and developers on legislation that would cap how rapidly rents can rise in the state. The deal would cap annual rent increases at 5% with a 10% maximum increase. This is USA Radio News.
Okay. Well, people, we're right back, and we're bringing you Jason Robb, who is he's the son of the head of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan here. Jason is an attorney. He's a young man. I think he's only about 46 years old. And he was talking before we went to a break. We're going to go right back to Jason now without me wasting further time. So take it away, Jason, and go continue where you was when we left off.
Well, again, I just appreciate everyone attending and listening to the show. As other people that's been on here, members of the Knights have been talking about, the theme of this conference has been stay strong and don't quit. And so I think it's a very befitting theme for this Congress. It's a great time for white nationalists to come together and really reflect on the idea that we are on a holy mission, that we cannot quit this cause, that we have a race and a culture that we need to preserve, and we need to preserve that race to our children. That bloodline that we have is so valuable and is so precious, and our enemy wants to destroy it. And so we need to simply want to encourage everyone here at this Congress and everyone that's listening to this broadcast that on a daily basis, you need to remember that you cannot quit this holy cause that we are involved in. Our children and our grandchildren are too valuable to quit. And so often we know all the things that are going around here to destroy our culture and our monuments and our history. And we need to not quit.
I couldn't hear you, Lisa. I couldn't hear you, honey.
We not do that. And I know it seems like a simple task not to do, but when we are involved on a daily basis, it gets very frustrated when we see what's going on around us. So don't quit. That's the thing we've been hammering out every single speaker out here is don't quit. You know, stay strong. Be involved in this cause. It's a holy mission that we're involved in. And so with that, we've had a lot of people here really being encouraged with all the speakers here. And we've been encouraged with not only the speakers, but all the children that's been around here. We have a lot of families here with children. And it's great to look at the children. And it's great to see that those children will have a future. I truly believe that our children will have a future. And so when we look at our children, we need to remember that this is what we're fighting for. And we're fighting for their bloodline. We're fighting for their culture and heritage as well.
Do that right now. Jason's going to, he's going to be right back. He had to take a quick break. And he's going to be right back, people. We're doing the best we can do to bring you a quality show. But anyway, we're going to roll right back to Jacob. Jason, I didn't want to interrupt what he was doing, but he's going right back now. So go take it away, Jason. Go back where you was, fella.
I was just saying that the theme of this Congress is stay strong and don't quit. And one thing about this Congress is not quitting is with the children that we have at this conference, and we have a lot of families here, we have a lot of children, and it's something just so simple to look at these children's eyes and listen to them and see their sweet voices and talking to them and realizing that this future that we're fighting for is their future. And these children, we have children from 2 to 3 year olds all the way in up to 8, 9 years old, several dozen of children. And this is what this Congress is about. This Congress is for these children because these are going to be the next leaders in this racial cause that we're involved in. These children are going to, as they get older, going to continue this fight. We'll continue to go and go to their local community and really continue to fight for their people wherever they may go at. And so this is what this Congress is about. The Congress is about these children. So stay strong, don't quit. That is what the theme of this Congress has been about.
and we are just always encouraged about of all the members and also the children that's here.
Okay, Jason, I certainly appreciate that. I'll tell you what, people, I have formed an incredible close bond with the Robs, and everybody has their favorites. Jason just so happens to be mine. He reminds me so much of my grandson. Even though he's older than my grandson, he's younger than my youngest daughter. And I've been knowing them for quite a few years before I became, not in business with them, before I started talking to them on the radio. And I don't tell you flat out, people, I've never seen people that are more salt of the earth. I've never heard them utter one word of hate. I've never heard them utter one word of being aggressive. As a matter of fact, I can say I'm kind of ashamed because, maybe I go overboard in the aggression sometimes. But like Pastor Rob himself, I was afraid that I might have insulted someone today because I followed immediately right after Pastor Rob. And I told everybody, I hope you don't think that I'm, the Antichrist after I have to follow Pastor Rob, because we disagree on so many things, diametrically opposed. I guess I'm more of a warrior, and we have different values, but we both love our people. And Pastor Rob, what endeared me to Pastor Rob, he says it takes many people. Like if you have an orchestra, I'm gonna quote what he said. If you have an orchestra, a big band, it takes a guitar, it takes a fiddle, it takes a trombone, it takes all this stuff, pianos or whatever. And I just happened, I'm like me. And they said, don't apologize for who you are. Don't apologize for being too hot. Sometimes I get so worked up, I go with the tears because I love people so much. I really do. And I'm so stinking passionate in what we do. And, my co-hosts are the same way. I know my co-host, matter of fact, Matt's right here, and he's running a guest for us. I don't know who's going to be the next guest. And, I don't know who the next guest is going to be because Matt's going to round him up right now. And we're going to have a guy named Buddy Owen, Bertie Kirkland. But we've got to get him into the other room in just a second. Matt's going to get him. Matt's going to get him. And we're going to start broadcasting just a second. Anyway, people, until we get a hold of Buddy, we're going to tread water. Anyway, people, we're having to round this guest up. He's Matt's giving him instructions right now. Anyway, I know they're going to be. We're going to have another guest on right now. His name is Buddy Kirkland. He's been in the movement. He's even older than I am. And listen, let me just say this once again. I certainly appreciate y'all hanging on to a lot of these difficulties. And you know what? Unfortunately, a lot of the difficulties are mine. Because even though it's my fault. Because even though I've been doing this coming up on a year right now, but that's nothing compared. You take like Sam. Sam's daughters have been in this movement longer than I have. They've forgotten more about this technical stuff than I have. But we don't get rattled. We just continue going. And we've learned a lot tonight. For instance, we learned about feedback and stuff like that. But anyway, we're getting ready to go to Mr. Buddy. Mr. Buddy Kirkland, how are you doing tonight, fella?
Well, doing pretty good, Eddie. I hope I can hang on with you with my hearing problem, but I'll certainly participate as much as I can.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're not the only one that has a hearing problem. I think yours might be a little bit worse than mine, but I think you're just a little bit older than I am. I'm 72, but Buddy, I've been knowing you a long time, and you've been a salt of the earth person. I love you so much, and I wish people could meet you and all the other people who are up this conference right here, because I guarantee you, you would have a completely different view that would be diametrically opposed to the view that you get over the lamestream media, painting people in the Klan, painting white Christians. Now, you don't even have to be a Klansman. If you're a white Christian nowadays, according to the mainstream media, these Jewish professors and these Ivy League schools, you should just kill yourself. But anyway, with that, Mr. Kirkland, would you give us a little little biography? Tell us about, you don't have to tell us your age if you don't want to, but tell us about how you got into the movement, how long you've been in the movement, and what you've seen since you've been in the movement. And just, it's your own words, so take off right now, Mr. Kirkland.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Buddy. Oh, Monday, we're going to a break right now. I hear the music. I'm sorry. We're going to take a break right now. I hear the music. And we're going to go back to our guest in 1 second, y'all. So just hang on. Hang on. We're going to be right back.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we were right back. We're in the last segment of this show tonight, and we have soldiered on through with an amazing amount of difficulties. But it's all our fault. Everything has been great guns through the headquarters. Sam Bushman, his daughters have been working great. We have a little incompetence here on my part. I will admit that. We have some technical stuff. I don't know. When we get back to Memphis and we have a little time, maybe Sam, with his genius, maybe he can figure out what happened to our stuff. But that's nothing. We're still going through. What we have right now, we switched guests. We have Miss Rachel Pendergast. She is the daughter of Reverend Tom Robb. She's going to come on, and she's going to wrap up the show for us tonight. And so, Rachel, if you will, come on tonight. Give us a little biography about, you know, I know how you got into movement because your dad is. But give us a little biography. I know you have some advanced degrees. Give us a little bit of biography and tell us what you did.
Sure.
Well, I always like to say that I started out being carried on the back of my mother when I was 2 months old protesting the United Nations. And so that was kind of my first little foray. And then I've just always been involved in public speaking, in the community, church, political events. I always traveled with my parents. I especially became interested in politics around the age of 11 when the feminists were trying to get the Equal Rights Amendment passed.
Wow.
And so I would call my state congressmen and senators and write letters. Sometimes I would get a good response. I was actually going through some of my old papers that I've kept throughout my life, and I found a very nasty response written back to me from the office of, I forget which state congressman it was, but telling me that they did not appreciate a snotty-nosed young child who did not have any appreciation for the rights of others to contact their office. So,
wow, that was quite... That was quite an initiation into the movement. But continue on, Rachel.
Yes, yes. But, yeah, I've enjoyed, of course, you've talked to my brother, younger brother Jason, throughout this show. But, you know, we've enjoyed traveling with our father, but, you know, also, you know, heading up rallies, doing a lot of, you know, we've done our stints on the Maury Povich show and Oprah and all the different TV talk shows, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s and so forth. And then just the privilege of knowing a lot of very fine leaders throughout America, you know, whether it was Richard Butler, J.B. Stoner, Dr. Ed Fields, David Duke, who was the national director of our organization when I was a young girl. Don Black, just a lot of really great people that I've had the privilege of knowing. And it's just always inspired me to continue on in this fight for our people and for our faith and race and homeland. And, of course, I have three children. My husband and I have three children. We now have 10 grandchildren, and both of our daughters married gentlemen who are of the same belief and are active, you know, in our community. All of our grandchildren are being raised with the same philosophy of racial preservation and pro-Christian, pro-America, and really inculcating within them a desire to not just look at this from a selfish perspective of me, my family, my community, but as an enlarged philosophy of what can I do for my white brothers and sisters, whether here in our state, our country, or somewhere overseas. And we use this pan-Aryanism as a philosophy that I feel is vital to the movement as a whole. Because we have to guard ourselves against nationalist tendencies that would attempt to subvert ourselves from promoting a racial self and just looking at it from a nationalist perspective. So, you know, I love my white brothers and sisters in Sweden, in England, in Germany, in Russia, just as much as the ones in Brooklyn and Memphis, Tennessee, and Dubuque, Iowa, you know, and the global phenomena, this white genocide. And so I've just been privileged to be raised in this movement, but also I was afforded the right and ability to make my own decisions and to choose that, you know, this really, you know, my parents weren't close-minded. I'm an avid reader. I love to read everything that anyone, I'll read anything that people will put in front of me, unless it's, you know, pornography or something like that. But I love to learn about different political ideals, and so I'm not afraid to be in a debate or conversation with people who hold different political beliefs, because after studying different beliefs and ideals and so forth, I can truly say that what I believe it to be accurate and the most sound and most healthy and most preserving and effectual belief system to sustain and promote and help our people prosper. And so
well,
that's what I would encourage other white people out there to do.
Well, Rachel, you being a lady, would you have any specific advice just for women, and if the, they might want to investigate getting into the movement? I know, you know, I'm sure women
well,
are probably. Go ahead.
Women make up roughly 40% of our organization.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
unaware,
that.
Many people are unaware that the Women's Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s, it was not an auxiliary of the Klan. It was its own separate organization headquartered here in Little Rock, Arkansas. And a lot of the success to the male Klan organization can actually be contributed to two female, I guess not propagandists, but they were advertising specialists. And so they found a way to really improve the propagating of a message out to local communities throughout the United States, really emphasizing the family. And so that is something, you know, it wasn't a ploy then. When we say we are for the family now, it's not a ploy just to, you know, soften the image. And I think that is something that as a message that I would reiterate to women out there. But more than giving a message to women as far as this is great, this is going to help your family, this is something you need to be involved in and so forth, I would have to say that my message really must go to the leaders of other organizations in the white nationalist movement, and I've discussed this at length with many of them, and that is the overall propagation of their message and how they sell their message to the public and how they actually allow themselves to be bought into the media censorship and the way that they want to categorize our movement as being anti-female, basically like everybody in the white nationalist movement is out there committing crimes, or, you know, if you get involved, you're going to be in a knife fight tomorrow night, then end up in jail. All this type of scare tactics to keep just average family people out of the movement. I've traveled extensively and been involved and familiar with many different organizations and leadership tactics, and I have to say that the only one that proves successful in the long run and has any longevity are those that place a priority, which I think Jason has talked
Lisa,
about.
Lisa, we only have about a minute, honey. We only have about a minute, so if you can, wrap it up.
I'm going to wrap it up. Is that priority has to be placed upon the family. Just a quick analogy, when a bar wants to increase their customers, they have ladies' night. The bar doesn't have a ladies' night for the ladies. They have it to bring the men in. You want to use that analogy for our movement? We have to create the atmosphere that is for the family. That'll bring in the ladies, and that'll bring in the men. That's the ticket to success.
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it, Miss Rachel. Well, Miss Rachel, we're out of time right now. If you thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much for tolerating me and my staff up here today. And thank you so much for soldiering on through my incompetence on this radio. We've had all kind of stuff happen. We've got it out, though. Well, people, that's just about ready to wrap it up. We're about out of time. We will be going to the music any minute, but I'm just going to tell you to sign off. I'm sorry. I apologize to you that we didn't get the show out like I wanted us to. I may have messed our computer. I don't know. But at least we did get, I think we got a quality program out. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you will, tune in next week. We're going to be back in Memphis, and we're going to be breaking down this show again because it really was a huge show. But thank you so much.